Dog of Tears. The Dog of Tears whimpered softly. Its hair was standing on end again. Its hair was standing on end again. The doctor's wife said to her husband, "There is a bad smell in here. There is a bad smell everywhere," said the husband. "It's not that, it's another smell of rotting." "There must be a dead body somewhere. I don't see anything, in which case you must be imagining it." The dog began to whine. "What's the matter with the dog?" asked the doctor. "He's nervous. He's nervous. What are we going to do? Let's see if there is a corpse. If there is a corpse, we just give it a wide berth. A wide berth." At this stage, the dead no longer frighten us. For me, it's easier. I can't see them. They crossed the hall of the supermarket until they reached the door which opened onto the corridor leading to the basement store.
Writing Life with writer and teacher Sally Bailey.
I have been feeling strangely dizzy all this week, and the words seem to be jumping and moving around. So the words I read are themselves suffering from vertigo. Vertigo, that famous film by Alfred Hitchcock, which begins with inverted circles, spirals moving round and round in the opening credits. I can see them now in my mind's eye. Strange what shapes and colours you carry with you on the surface of your mind, which you then transpose into your reading life. And as I say, I've been feeling very vertiginous this week. Vertiginous and Finishing Up, Blindness by Jose Saramago. Blindness by Jose Saramago. In many ways, it's a book of few words. The vocabulary is very compressed, and I've been thinking about the iteration of words of a particular parlance. A set of words which come again and again and again. Let me read you a part. It takes place inside a supermarket. In this novel of an epidemic of blindness which takes over a community like a kind of contagion or plague. A driver waiting at the traffic lights goes blind. An ophthalmologist tries to diagnose his distinctive white blindness. It becomes a contagion spreading throughout the city. And here we are inside the wide hall of a supermarket. Two characters, a doctor and his wife, and a dog called the Dog of Tears. This is a kind of fable, a manic, frenzied fable. Things move quickly, the words gather momentum, lay and overlay. The same set of words, as though we're trying to hold on to something familiar in the dark. in the dark. The daylight illuminated the whole of the wide hall of the supermarket. Almost all the shelves were overturned. There was nothing but refuse, broken glass, empty wrappers. "It is strange," said the doctor's wife. "Even if there is no food here, I don't understand why there is nobody around." Three sentences. The first sets up the wide hall of the supermarket, illuminated by the daylight, and it is the daylight that is the subject that takes us into the wide hall of the supermarket. The daylight illuminated the whole of the wide hall of the supermarket. The second sentence considers the shelves. Almost all the shelves were overturned, comma. There was nothing but refuse, comma. Broken glass, comma, empty wrappers. We move through a set of things related to refuse. Jagged broken glass, empty wrappers. The collective noun is refuse. Saramago does that a lot. He gives us a world of three things. One large set, the complete noun, and then he breaks it up into parts as those parts begin to disintegrate from, we suppose, a broken bottle, broken glass, into empty wrappers. Disintegration, emptiness, nothingness. And then the voice of the doctor's wife, which is not given to us in direct discourse or direct speech, but as though we are inside the mind of the doctor's wife that is being mediated through the narrator, a kind of free indirect discourse. The word strange begins the third sentence. "It is strange," said the doctor's wife, comma. "Even if there is no food here, comma, I don't understand why there is nobody around." A sentence that begins with the musing of a doctor's wife inside her own mind. "It is strange. Even if there is no food here, comma, I don't understand why there is nobody around." End of sentence. And I find myself pausing in the middle of Saramago's sentences, which are of course in translation from the Portuguese, because there is a strange barrenness in the middle of each of those sentences. They seem to fall into three parts, like a door in a tripartite structure with the hinges falling off. And so I pause naturally, even when there is no comma there. Absence, nothingness, nobody about, says the doctor's wife as she muses. Nobody around. I don't understand why there is nobody around. Nobody around, no food, broken glass, empty wrappers, refuse. And the characters don't speak to one another directly because that would be too human and too alive. The following sentence goes like this. The doctor said, comma, "You are right. It does not seem normal." The dog of tears whimpered softly. of tears accompanies the doctor and his wife into the supermarket, and he becomes a way of feeling and of seeing tears. He is the visual, emotional life of this part of the novel. We see the tears of humans through the tears of the dog, so we see the eyes of the dog whenever we hear the dog of tears, which is repeated over and over again, like a melancholy refrain. The dog of tears. The dog began to whine. The dog of tears followed them. The dog of tears. It follows them around. The dog. The dog. The dog. The dog of tears followed them, but it stopped from time to time, comma, howled to them, comma, then duty obliged it to continue. And there's a way in which the dog stands in for the human life here. The dog is more in charge of feeling and of knowing than the humans are. So it is the dog that continues his way through the empty refuse of the supermarket, where the doctor and his wife are looking for things to eat. But there is nobody around, and there is nothing there. What happened? The doctor asked again. What did you see? They are dead, she managed to say between sobs. Who is dead? They are. They are. And she could not go on. She could not go on. And I am reminded, as I read Jose Saramago's book Blindness, of something my neighbour said to me today. My neighbour across the stream. He said to me, "You know, we have forgotten what it is to be human. We are human no longer, because we have forgotten what it is to look at one another and to notice. We have forgotten what it is to really see." And I am grateful for Saramago's rather empty prose. His repetition of the same words, the blind, 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 man, the dog of tears, the doctor's wife, the doctor, the supermarket, the basement, the city, the streets. It is a very spare novel with a very compressed vocabulary, and I have found it strangely reassuring during this time of acute dizziness or vertigo, because I know where I am in his sentences. I can see my way through. I can see my way to the end. And so I've been following the dog of tears, who is following them, the doctor and his wife. And I am listening to the whimpering, the soft whimpering, even through the long drag of the aeroplane flying over now. It is the whimpering of the dog I hear. The dog of tears whimpered softly. Its hair was standing on end again. The doctor's wife said to her husband, "There is a bad smell in here. There's a bad smell everywhere," said the husband. "It's not that. It's another smell of rotting. There must be a dead body somewhere. I don't see anything. In which case, you must be imagining it." The dog began to whine. And there you see, you have an entire drama in 4 sentences. An entire story which begins with a smell. This is a novel led by the senses. One sense has died. Sight. Another takes over. Smell. Smell. And I am reminded how much we rely upon our senses in order to know. And my senses have been peculiarly jangled this week. And so I feel somewhat separate from everybody else. Apart, there is a distance, a gap, a pause, a breakdown, a suspension of disbelief of some kind. Something I don't know. Everyone else does know. But what is it? What is it they know? What is it you know? And I wonder this finally, how many words do you need in order to tell a story? There are only 3 characters in this scene, the doctor, the doctor's wife, and the dog of tears. And then there is the setting of the wide hall of the supermarket. And there are the shelves which have been overturned. And there is the refuse, which is signified only by broken glass and empty wrappers. And there is no dialogue. No dialogue. Only the strange implications of the mind speaking to itself. "It is strange," said the doctor's wife, comma. "Even if there is no food here, comma. I don't understand why there is nobody around." They cross the hall of the supermarket until they reach the door which opened onto the corridor leading to the basement store. The dog of tears followed them, but it stopped from time to time, howled to them. Then duty obliged it to continue. When the doctor's wife opened the door, the stench grew stronger. "It smells terrible," said her husband. "You stay here. I'll be right back." She went down the corridor. It became darker with every step, and the dog of tears followed her as if it were being dragged along. Filled with the stench of putrefaction, the air seemed thick. Halfway down, the woman vomited. "What can have happened here?" she thought, between retchings, and then she murmured these same words over and over again until she got to the metal door which went down into the basement. Confused by her nausea, she had not noticed before that there was a tenuous shimmer of light down there. Now she knew what it was. Small flames flickered around the edges of the 2 doors, that of the staircase and that of the goods lift. A new attack of vomiting gripped her stomach. It was so violent that it attracted the attention of the dog. The dog of tears gave a very long howl. It let out a wail that never seemed ending, a lament which resounded through the corridor like the last voice of the dead, down, 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 in the basement. The doctor heard the vomiting, the convulsions, the coughing. He ran as well as he could. He stumbled and fell. He got up and fell again. At last, he held his wife in his arms. "What happened?" he asked. "What happened?" he asked with a trembling voice. She replied, "Get me out of here. Get me out of here. Get me out of here. Please get me out of here." For the first time since the onset of blindness, it was the doctor who guided his wife.
Thank you for listening to A Reading Life, A Writing Life.